South African women and just short of 1 in 5 men have indicated that they have been victims of workplace sexual harassment, with only about 16% of total victims, in fact, reporting the matter. CDH Cliff Dekker-Hoffmeyer believes that these occasions can often end in sexual harassment claims from employees. I spoke to to Tamsankwa Mila from CDH to chat about this. It's the season to be jolly. It's also the season to be aware that sexual harassment lawsuits can easily arise from end-of-year office parties, as employer responsibilities may extend further afield than one might think. What constitutes sexual harassment in the eyes of the law? Let's start there.
Sexual harassment in the eyes of the law has 3 or 4 components. The first one is must be conduct. Conduct can be verbal, physical, that is sexual in nature, that is unwanted. So if there's a complaint that you receive as an employer that meets those 3 criteria, then it constitutes sexual harassment.
And where does the employer's responsibility start at the end of your office parties?
So the employer's responsibility actually starts before the Christmas party or the year-end function. The employer's responsibility begins with the employer educating its staff about its rights and what protections it can give its employees in relation to sexual harassment. So a sexual harassment policy would be the first step. Second step is making sure that the employees know about the sexual harassment policy, so that if an incident of sexual harassment is reported at a year-end function, there's no ambiguity or uncertainty about what must happen. The employees know exactly what to do. Either go to HR, report to a friend they trust, or go straight to the person, go straight to the relevant body and say, this is what I experienced and I want you to do something about it.
Is there a difference, for example, if the year-end party is not at the usual premises of work and it's taken elsewhere?
There's absolutely no difference.
I see.
Our Employment Equity Act and the Code of Good Practice on Sexual Harassment protects employees from sexual harassment or allegations of incidents of sexual harassment in the workplace as well as outside of the workplace. So in keeping with our conversation and our topic for the day, most Christmas parties or year-end functions are never in the workplace. However, it's a work event. So by having that connection of a work event, it's not a defense for anyone who's an alleged perpetrator to say that I wasn't even at work. So it goes beyond the confines of the workplace.
Yeah, absolutely. But I think you uttered a key phrase there, being at a work event. It's almost irrelevant that it's in fact a year-end Christmas function. At the end of the day, it still is a work event. And should everyone who's a part of this work event, albeit a party, bear that in mind? I know it may sound idealistic being at a year-end office party.
Yeah, the extent of the protection of sexual harassment even goes to the guys who deliver our goods right after Black Friday. Your employers expected to protect you from sexual harassment against them. So I'm just trying to expand on our conversation to show just how wide the protection for an employee is. So a year-end function, especially if it's a work-related function, definitely is within the ambit of protection of employment law.
Oh my word, so that becomes even quite tricky, because say the party is off-site and there is unwanted advancement sexual in nature with the conduct that you described earlier on, it can become quite tricky for an employee in this situation. So one, I suppose, has to choose carefully where you're going to host your year-end office party.
Where you're going to host your year-end functions, it's not a responsibility employers think about. It's also not something I think they can control much, but your service provider is there, who's going to be providing you with juice if you're going to be drinking juice, alcohol, serving you food. If an employee has an incident or alleges to have had an incident of sexual harassment, maybe by the sexual service provider there, they can still come back to the employer and say this is what happened, and the employer is expected to take some type of action. Maybe go to that service provider and say, your employee did X, Y, Z, I do not appreciate it, can you do something about it?
Yeah, what can employers do to mitigate this, Tamsanko?
So, like I said earlier on, I think I jumped the gun there, but the most important thing is making employees know about their rights to be protected from sexual harassment. So most employers, there's a dummy sexual harassment policy in the code of practice for the prevention of sexual harassment. If your employees know about their rights, they know what to do in the event that they're faced with an incident of sexual harassment, because sometimes you don't even know if it is. If a joke is too much, or if a joke is just between friends, if a glare or if a touch. So I think the minute you start making your employees know what the different variations and kinds of sexual harassment they may face, they're able to be protected and they're able to be empowered. So that if Miss Jackie or Mr. Tom at the year-end function tries to do something sinister, they're able to spot it before it goes too far, and they say, actually, this is what this is, and I think I have rights in terms of policies in the workplace.
As you mentioned, there can be quite a bit of grey area in terms of suggestion and innuendo, and it's he said and she said. Interesting that I see that CDH is... also released a first ever e-learning module on sexual harassment. Can you share more around this?
So the e-learning module is a tool for employers. It takes the test that employees can take. I think it takes between 30 to 40 minutes. It's interactive. It teaches you exactly all these different points that we talked about, what the definition of sexual harassment is. You're allowed to respond to questions. If you get it wrong, you can go back. It gives you information that that you may need in order to understand the concept of sexual harassment better. It speaks about all the different ways and different places you may be a victim of sexual harassment, different places you may be a victim of sexual harassment, and what your powers are or what your avenues are within the workplace in those instances. For instance, off-site versus in the workplace, single sex or same sex, line manager versus subordinate. So it's just an educational tool that employers can use to educate their employees about sexual harassment in the workplace.
Do you feel, lastly, Tamsanko, that there is enough awareness around this? Do we have enough understanding around sexual harassment? Because it's not as black and white as it would appear.
I think we are getting there, but I don't think we're there just yet. And I think the topic of sexual harassment, especially at year-end functions, is becoming more and more of a prevalent issue. I very often have to go chair disciplinary inquiries where the issue is, we were at a year-end function and he did this to me. We were at a team building and she did this to me. So I think more and more it's becoming an issue that employers have to confront, and if they educate their employees, then we'll be able to make some progress towards eradicating it in the workplace.
Where can we find more information around that e-learning module that you spoke of?
Cliff Decker Hofmeyr, so the website would be a good place to start, and our marketing department is also, I think, issuing some pamphlets to interested parties. So I think just contacting the firm and asking for our national director, Adil Patel, will be able to get some information out after that.
Tamsanko Mila, associate at CDH, Cliff Decker Hofmeyr. Appreciate your time and your insights on this matter. Thank you so much.
Cheers. Thank you.